Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
Once again, a blessed Laetare Sunday to all of you. A blessed party Sunday of Lent to all of you. You know, back in the day when everyone fasted for the entirety of Lent, this Sunday, this time was a big deal because this is when they broke that fast. This is when they celebrated to remind themselves that Easter was to come and that really that they always lived in the midst of an Easter time. And so nowadays, here at St. Mary's and in other Episcopal churches and Catholic churches, Lutheran churches, Methodist churches, and other places, we don robes and we celebrate and we rejoice. Because even in the midst of the Lenten season, there is much to rejoice. So what's interesting is that one of my favorite ways to celebrate anything is to talk about the Bible. I guess that means I'm in the right line of work. And speaking of the Bible, one thing that always interests are the parables. And our gospel for today has a really interesting and captivating parable. But there's a funny thing about parables. You know, sometimes we encounter a parable and it really speaks to us and it meets us right where we are. Other times we encounter a parable and maybe it's more of an intellectual thing. And then there's sometimes when there are, you know, changes or shifts in our life that take a parable that was fine before and all of a sudden make it really hit close to home. Well, I gotta say that I recently have come to have a life experience, I've had a life change that has made this parable, our parable of the prodigal son, hit me much close to home, much closer to home than it ever has. And this is after having read it maybe 500 times and after having preached on it 10 or 12 times. And that is because now, for the first time, reading this parable, like the father in the story, I am also the father of two children. And so anyway, I was beginning to think about this parable and this scripture, and I was wearing Santiago, my younger son, and, you know, I was trying to get him to sleep, so I was kind of doing this thing that some of you parents in the room might remember, right? And so as I was kind of rocking him, he was looking so innocent, I started reading this, you know, parable of the prodigal son. And then I looked down at him, you know, my younger one, and he didn't look so innocent anymore. And so all of a sudden, you know, imagination runs wild, you know, I'm sleep deprived, so imagination runs wild, and I start imagining that the story is unfolding, but with our family. And so it's 20 years from now, and all of a sudden Santiago comes, and he demands half of the inheritance. And so I'm already thinking this. All right, so if he's old enough to ask for that and old enough to know what to do with it, then why on earth are both of these boys still living in my house? All right, so anyway, I get past that. And so perhaps because of a lack of judgment or indulgent parody, and I decide, sure, just take everything that's yours. And so he takes it and he goes off to a distant land. All right, so at this point, you know, the way the story goes, he goes off to distant land, and he spends it all away in dissolute living. I love the way they talk about that. And so I guess nowadays that means apparently he went to Vegas. And so once again, I pause, and I'm like, all right, so wait a minute. So you're telling me that he's going to take half of my hard-earned money and go off and waste it all having fun and he didn't invite me? All right, so anyway, so while all this is happening, you know, Francisco, the older one, is working so hard, and yet he can't afford his own apartment, so he's still at home with me, and things are going along. So anyway, Santiago spends it all, and comes back having hit rock bottom, and I'm excited, I'm elated, I celebrate, we have a big party, but then Francisco, you know, the one who's been staying and working all this time, but couldn't afford his own apartment, is mad, and decides, why are you throwing a party for him when you should be throwing a party for me? And so anyway, this is what happens when your pastor is sleep deprived. But it was interesting for me to think about this parable from that particular perspective. And it was interesting for me because it let me see some of the details in a new way. And perhaps those of you who are parents or aunts or uncles or whatever might have a sense about what I'm saying. But here's the thing. The truth of the matter is that when we think about this parable, it doesn't matter who we are in this life. None of us is the parent in this parable. We are all one of the children in this parable, and given the way that we can often live our lives, most of the time, we are the prodigal one in this parable. And this parable is really interesting, and there are all these fun and interesting details. And I've heard amazing preachers talk about who was wrong and who was right, talk about the significance of the pigs, and talk about how strange it is that the father would have split it evenly between the firstborn and the secondborn or whatever. But at the end of the day, I believe there is one important thing. And that one important thing is this, that the central crime, tragedy, and sin of all of this story was the unnecessary estrangement of this young man from his family. I say it again, that the central crime, tragedy, and sin in this story was the unnecessary and unneeded estrangement of this young man from his family. I mean, think about it. I mean, had he come to that place of humility and gratitude and love without having gone, then he could have spent all that time enjoying that time with his family. He could have spent all that time perhaps spending some of that money and celebrating with his family, but instead he had to hit rock bottom. And here's the thing, this is where we have to think about what we focus on. You know, oftentimes, as people of faith, we think about sins. We think about the things that we do wrong. We think about the temptations we give into. You know, we think about, you know, the things we know we shouldn't do, we do anyway. We think about the things that we probably should do, but don't do. We think about sins. But here's the problem. When we're focusing on, you know, the sins, the little, you know, peccadilloes that we do in our life, then we forget that the greatest sin is separating ourselves from the love of God, both as we experience from God and also as we experience through our communities. So the greatest sin is what causes this unneeded and unnecessary estrangement from God and our communities. And so looking again at the story, we can see it happening. You know, this prodigal son first messed up, but not realizing how good he had it. But not realizing and recognizing and being grateful for all the love that he had with his father and with his family and in his community. And so we see a lack of gratitude. And then, you know, what do we see next? Well, we see that the son, at least for a time, valued the resources of his family, the assets of his family, his inheritance, more than being with his family. And so here we see greed and selfishness and needing to have things your own way. And then afterwards, after, you know, spending it all in dissolute living, I think what kept his son away was his shame. Was his shame for feeling that, you know, he no longer deserves to be a son. That because of his actions, that somehow he's not deserving of this love that was freely given to him. So here's the thing. Yes, it's a parable, it's a story. This didn't happen exactly in this way, or maybe didn't happen at all. But it lifts up an important truth. The fact of the matter is that the same things happen to us. You know, sometimes for us, you know, it's our, you know, sometimes we fail to recognize the blessings that we receive from God and the blessings we receive from our family and from our friends and from our community. You know, sometimes it is we are the ones who have that lack of gratitude. You know, sometimes we're the ones who value things more than people. Sometimes we're the ones that need to have things our own way so much that it creates separation between us and other people. And sometimes we're the ones who are perhaps too ashamed or too concerned that, you know, what's going on with us is bad enough that we don't want to let people close because we're afraid of what they will see. You see, my friends, I mean, we can talk about sins, you know, from day and night, but I believe it is that sin, it is that separation that breaks God's heart. And I also believe that it is when we come to our senses and come back that we'll find that God truly rejoices and throws a party for us in heaven. And so what do we do? Perhaps other than giving a side eye at our youngest child. Well, there's a couple things you can do. First, I believe it's important for us to say yes to love. To say yes to the love of God, and to say yes to the love of our family and of our community. And so given this, I invite you to try on a practice of gratitude. You know, try on to take a minute every day at the end of the day and look back at your day and really think about what it is you're thankful for. Think about what are the blessings you experienced. Think about, you know, all it is that you are so deeply grateful for. You know, I actually write these in a journal. So if you're a writer kind of person, consider writing them down. Just try this on for a week because it's really hard to be far from God's love when you're reflecting on God's love and when you're reflecting on God's love as you experience through your community. So that's the first thing. So I invite you to try it on, at least for this week, a practice of gratitude. And the next thing, I invite you all to think of one area in your life where there is distance, where there is estrangement, where there is isolation that doesn't need to be. Think of one area, one instance, one relationship where there is distance that does not have to be there. Where perhaps because of your pride, because of failure to forgive either yourself or the other person's, or because a need of having your things your own way or your own shame, that there's closeness that's not happening. That there's estrangement that doesn't need to be there. I really invite you to think about that. We all got them. I have several. I invite you to think about that and consider what it is you can do to close that gap, to step into that relationship, and to embrace the love of God and the love of community that you can receive. Because I believe that when we do this, we'll find, just as the prodigal child found, that, you know, it'll be more than worth it, and the celebration is far greater than anything else that you can imagine. And so, my friends, we're blessed. You know, we're blessed to have an incredibly loving and forgiving and graceful God. We're blessed to have communities that show us and share with us that love of God as well. So let us say yes to that love. Let us say yes and lean into that love and those communities as well. And let us deny whatever gets in the way. Because I believe in doing that, we'll find that we ourselves will have much to celebrate. Amen.
Amen.